All right, we're going to start by reading a section out of Romans here, just a short section, but we're going to spend the majority of our time today probably in Romans 6. So, but I just wanted to open here. Romans chapter 5, and we'll start in verse 17. It says here, "For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." Something that what I want to do today, as we're going to the scriptures, is look at how the grace of God and the Spirit of God not only releases us from the condemnation and the guilt and the punishment of sin, but it releases us from the bondage of it as well. Okay? And we're going to look at that. We're going to look at crucifying the flesh and living by the Spirit. Okay? In Genesis, I'm just going to read this. I have it written down here. In Genesis chapter 3, right after Adam and Eve sin, in verse 7, it says this. It says, "The eyes of both of them were opened, and that they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Pretty remarkable, huh? They hid themselves. And the reason why I want to go here is you see the moment that Adam and Eve become conscious and aware of their own sin, the result was that they first tried to cover themselves by their own works, weaving together clothing for themselves, and then they hid from God because they were afraid. You see that? It's the flesh's reaction to having light shone on its sin. And it's really a pattern you see today, right? When I am consumed by consciousness of my own sin and shortcoming, it makes me want to hide from God and hide from people too, does it not? Do you feel confident to go towards God when your heart condemns you? It does not, right? Doesn't it say that in 1 John, I think? If your heart condemns you, God's greater than your heart. If your heart doesn't condemn you, then you go to God with confidence. You know? And so there's this thing, so in the Christian life, and Pete alluded to it or said it last week, how sometimes as the Word of God begins to enlighten our path and we're understanding more and more, it can shed light on the sinful nature. And you can wind up being, at least in your mind and in your conscience, more consumed and bound by sin that you're, for the first time in your life, free from. Yeah. And this is what the Spirit of God and what the grace of God enables us to do, is not just be free of that condemnation, but to walk free of it. Okay, and it's really exciting. It's really, really exciting. So I hope that I can communicate this well. I want to just encourage everybody. I'll tell you, there is some real gold in understanding Romans 1 through, I mean, the whole book, but in light of what we're talking about, Romans 1 through 8, and just getting your heart in the Word. You know, what we can do here on a Sunday is really just kind of crack the door open a little bit. Hopefully show you something that you can take home. But your time in God's Word, your time opening the Scripture for yourself, asking God to show you, just to understand what it's saying, man, it'll deliver you. It'll deliver you. So I want to encourage you with that. All right, Romans. We're going to go back to Romans here. And we're going to start in verse 1 of chapter 6. And in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. Absolutely not. How can we who died to sin still live in it?" And it's asking this question coming off of what we just read in Romans chapter 5, right? We read how Adam's sin plunged us into sin, but that Jesus Christ's life and righteousness, sacrifice, what he did, his obedience, has brought us into righteousness, right? That's the beauty of this thing. And we're going to see this as we go on, that we've been released from the bondage of sin. And here's why. Because Jesus Christ came and walked and lived a sinless life. And then he died paying the price for my sin and for your sin. And you know this. This is the gospel, right? And it's really good news. So the punishment and the condemnation I deserved and the punishment and condemnation you deserve was placed on him. It says later, we're going to read later in Romans 8, how sin was condemned in the flesh. God didn't condemn you and me. He condemned sin in the flesh on the cross. Isn't that incredible? So you were quite literally released from that very sin of Adam. The thing that kept Adam from being in the presence of God with boldness, that thing has been washed away. That thing has been cleansed. Do you see it? So now what Romans 6 is saying, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Do we continue living this way so that grace abounds? And the answer, of course, is by no means. How can we who died to sin live in it? And then it says this, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And here's something we're going to see as we go today. The need to see our identity. Okay? So we need to first know what Jesus Christ did. What he did for us, right? And then we're going to see as we go that we then need to identify with him in this thing. Okay? Look at this. Verse 4, what does it say? It says, we're buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Verse 5, for if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Isn't that cool? We've been planted together with him. And then look at this in verse 6. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Okay? Now this is a remarkable verse. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. What I want to do, I want to read Ephesians. You can go there with me if you want. In Ephesians chapter 2, but keep a finger in Romans. It's important to understand what we're talking about when we say our old self. Okay? So Romans chapter 6 says that we know our old self was crucified with him. Well, what does that mean? What is my old self? In King James, it calls it the old man. Here's a picture of your old self and of my old self. Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 1, look at this. It says, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived, in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." Isn't that cool? Isn't that wild? I mean, it's not cool. It's wild, right? Among whom we all once lived, in the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. Isn't that wild? So before we got born again, before Jesus Christ was made known to us and we accepted him as our Lord, all we had was to follow the passions of our flesh and of our mind. And we were, by nature, the children of wrath, children destined for wrath. Because all we have is the body and the mind. And we're just following after the things of the body and the mind. You see that? So you're stuck in this slavery of having one way. And that's just simply to follow the desires that you have, the things that you think. And that's it, right? Now along comes the law, right? The law of God, God's word. And it sheds light on, in the eyes of a righteous God, what's right and what's wrong, right? But what the law doesn't do is empower the man of flesh and blood to do the law, right? And we'll see that as we go. You're still just kind of stuck doing the desires of your heart, of your flesh, and of your mind, right? Bondage. So this is our old self. That's who we were before. If you keep reading Ephesians, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us," right? Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you're saved. That's the new truth. That's the new truth. Now look at this. Back to Romans, please. And I just want you to see something here. In verse 6, it says, "We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin may be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin." Who here still has a body? All of us, right? All of us. You know what has not changed? You still have a body. Your body still has a sinful nature. Your body still has a grid for the temptations of the world. Does it not? You are all born again, are you not? You've all confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, right? The day you confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, did all the passions and desires that your flesh had and the thoughts of your mind that were contrary to the Word of God, did they change? No. Well, maybe some of them did, right? As you begin to see and understand, right? But you still dealing with that? I am, right? So we all are. But you're no longer the same person. Who you were, stuck serving the thoughts of your mind, the feelings of your flesh, has been crucified. Do you understand? It's like you were in this prison and the lights were turned on and you saw finally for the first time in your life you were imprisoned. But you're still not getting out until the keys open the door. You understand? And the Lord Jesus Christ put the key in, opened the door, and said, "Be free." Prison's still there. I can still live my life in the prison if I want, but I've just been given an opportunity for freedom in my walk. You see that? See that? So you're not the person you were before. You're not the person you were before. "Our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing,
so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Verse 7, for one who has died has been set free from sin. And I love this because it's just, it's so practical, right? There's coming, in a very real sense, when I draw my last breath, Jim Janovec will no longer have any potential for sinning. Will not, because I'll be gone. Understood? But but the death of my Lord Jesus Christ has been attributed to me. I was buried with him. You see that? I was buried with him. And now I was raised with him too. You see? He that's dead is set free from sin. Verse 8, look at this. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ being raised from the dead will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. And I want you to see this. Look, we attribute this to Jesus Christ easily because he's the Son of God and we see what he's done. We know Christ was raised from the dead. Do we not? We know that. Do you know that? I know that, right? We know that. We know he will never die again, right? We know that. We know that. We know death no longer has dominion over him, right? We know that. For the death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. Then verse 11 is this beautiful verse. It says, so you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Okay? Now this word consider in the ESV, it's translated reckon in the King James to reckon. I think I like the word reckon better in our world because if I'm considering something, it's like, oh, I'll consider it. You know, I'm weighing my options, right? Whereas reckon isn't, that word is, that's not what that means. What that word means is you've calculated it. You've calculated it. You've come to a conclusion. You've reckoned something as equivalent or having the same like force or weight. Okay, so we know this of Jesus Christ. He died, he was raised, he lives his life to God. Okay? So in the same way you know that, reckon that to yourself. Do you see that? And here's the key. This is all about identity. Okay? Because we've lived our whole life by the passions of our flesh and the thoughts of our mind. And so we attribute those passions of our flesh and thoughts of our mind to us. That's who I am. You understand that? That's who I'm. I've always been that way. I've always had a passion for that. I've always thought this way. It becomes very much a part of you and your identity of how you see yourself and maybe how you think other people see you. Okay? But what we have in Jesus Christ is we have a death to those things and we have been given a new life in Jesus Christ. So we reckon it to ourselves. You see that? Who I am in the flesh is no longer who I am. I'm in Christ. And my brothers and sisters are in Christ. Do you see it? So, does that change the fact that my flesh and my mind sometimes thinks things or respond to things in the world in a worldly way? It doesn't automatically change that, does it? But does that flesh, does my passion and my thoughts, are they Lord of my life? Are they Lord of my life anymore? Do they have power to be Lord of my life anymore? No. Why? Because Jesus Christ crucified them. You see? He crucified it. And then he raised from the dead and gave us a new way to live. And it's by the Spirit instead of by the flesh. You see that? So, I want you to see this clear because as we go, this is a key factor here for us to know what it is he did and then reckon it to ourselves. Okay? Those are the first two steps laid out here. You know what he did, and then you reckon it to yourself. Then look at this in verse 12. I love this. This, when I understood this, it set me free. It set me free. Pete and I were talking about the other day. Honestly, it has become, and you know, I fall short too. But it's become fun when there's temptation that comes around that my flesh used to respond to. And there's a temptation there for my flesh to respond. And it's just like, no. Who? Really? Really? That's not where we're going today. Do you understand? Why? Because who's Lord of my life now? Jesus Christ is Lord. In the past, those things had lordship over me where I couldn't say no to it. Or I didn't even know to say no to it. It's just the way it was, right? But as you grow in this, as you grow in the things of God, it's like, that's not me. And you put it off. And you remember who you are in Christ, and you walk. And the Spirit of God is what enables this in a man or a woman. Okay, so look at this. I love this. Verse 12. It says here, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions." That word reign should bring our attention back to Romans chapter 5, right? "For if because of one man's trespass death reign through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ." Okay? Who doesn't reign anymore? Sin. The passions of my flesh, the thoughts of my mind. Those are not sitting on the seat of lordship in my life anymore. And they're not sitting in the seat of your either. Do you understand? So you know, can sin and desires be a tyrant at times in our life? But mine are. They want to butt their way in. They want me to think that that's who I am. But what does it say here? "Don't let sin reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions." Verse 13, "Do not present your members." Members is referring to your body parts. "Don't present your body parts," your members, "to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life." And your members, your body parts, to God as instruments for righteousness. "For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace." And I love this because, look, you start to recognize who you are. You know, when all I was a man of flesh and blood, that old man had no choice. You see, I was a slave to sin, had no choice. I've now been released from that. And it no longer has the spiritual power over me that it once had. It no longer has that dominion. I've been set free. You know? And I'll tell you, this is a beautiful thing because I've not only been forgiven, which is just incredible, right? But I've also been set free from the power of it. You see the difference that both of those play in our life? All right. Don't let it reign anymore. It doesn't, so don't let it. You tell it who's boss. That's Jesus Christ, right? I love this too. I think I used to look at it like I was here and God gave me his Spirit and now I could use his Spirit like a tool to do spiritual things. The reality of it is that the Spirit of God has become who I am, and I use this tool to do spiritual things by the Spirit of God that dwells in me. Do you see the difference? How it's kind of 360? It's not your flesh trying by your flesh to do things in the Spirit. It's you who have been made a new spiritual being in Christ, walking in that. Do you see what I'm saying? So I choose what my arms and my legs and my mind and my body do. I choose. And I've chosen Christ, and so have you. You see it? It's a releasing. It's a great release from prison. So look at this. Verse 14, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. That reckoning, I wrote this verse down. You guys are familiar with it, but I'm just going to read it. Galatians 2:20, it says, this is Paul saying, he said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's such a great verse. Such a great verse. Paul reckoned this to be so, you see, and encouraged others to reckon it to be so. You know, that's a great verse to remember, just to put in your heart. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I'm not that man anymore. I'm not that man that was stuck anymore. So here, we read in verse 18, sin will have no more dominion over you since you're not under the law but under grace. Grace is not an absence of God's law. Grace is actually God's law dwelling in your inward parts. You see? It's God's word in you, right? It's God working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. That's how we walk now. Right? It's not now suddenly that we walk lawlessly. It's that the Spirit of God dwells in us. And when I walk by the Spirit, what does it say in Galatians? I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Isn't that beautiful? Beautifully free? Instead of the focus on don't do, don't do, don't do, don't do, the focus is now on do. Go walk by the Spirit. And you know what? You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Isn't that cool? That Spirit of God, man. All right. Go pop over to Romans chapter 7, verse 4. So we saw here in verse 14 of 6 that sin will have no more dominion over you because you're not under the law but under grace. In Romans 7, verse 4, look what this says here. It says, likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. For while we were living in the flesh, that's the old man, remember him? Our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are released from the law, having died to that which held us captive, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Isn't that cool? We serve in the new way of the Spirit, not in the old way of the written code, because we've been released. Romans 6, and now down to verse 15. We'll keep going here through Romans 6. It kind of repeats a similar question that we saw at the beginning of the chapter. It says, what then? Are we to sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? It's a rhetorical question, right? But he answers it, by no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you are committed. And having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations, for just as you once presented your members, your body parts, as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. You're no longer those slaves to sin. You see it? We're no longer people without a hope. We're no longer people without the Spirit of God. Okay? And so we are, for the first time in our life, in a position of freedom to say no to those things and to instead pursue after God. Understand? And this is something, you know, as we go, we're seeing how we first need to see what he did. And then we reckon it to ourselves. We attribute that to ourselves. Just like he died and was raised, so too we died and have been raised. And then we submit ourselves, our bodies, our lives to him. And then it says here, we obey. Right? Because if my life is about obedience to God, I become that slave to righteousness. You see it? See it? Who is going to help us to do this? God's going to help you to do it, right? And he's put a life in you which has desires and which has motives and which has strength to do the very thing that he's called you to do. Isn't that cool? And that's the Spirit of God. That's why it says in Galatians, we walk by the Spirit. We won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's beautiful. All right. Verse 20 here says here, for when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Pretty awesome verses. A lot of you are familiar, I think, with Romans 7. I'm going to read a little short bit of it here, because here's the reality of this thing, right? So we're living our life and we want to obey God. We want his word living in us. We want to be walking with him, right? And then sometimes we find that our flesh can get in the way. At least mine can. Maybe I'm the only one, but I kind of doubt it. So in Romans 7, in verse 14, I want to start there. We're going to read a little here. Verse 14, it says, for we know that the law is spiritual, right? And this Romans 7 is talking about the person attempting to obey and to follow God's law, okay, or his word. In verse 14, it says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. Okay? Anybody ever find themselves feeling that way? I've found myself feeling that way before, right? Romans 7 and what it's depicting there is not depicting the normal Christian life. That's not what life in Christ is supposed to look like. What it's depicting is what it looks like when we try by our own strength and our own power to follow the law or the will of God. Does that make sense? Okay, that's what it's depicting. Okay, and what it's showing here is that it's impossible. Even if I have a desire to do it, I'm not going to find it within my flesh to do it. That's the struggle, right? That's the challenge. You think those leaves that Adam and Eve wove together to cover their nakedness were sufficient to cover the sin that they had just committed? No, not at all, right? The works of their own flesh? No. Was hiding from God a good answer? No. How about blaming God? When Adam blamed God for giving him the woman. You know, do you understand what I'm saying? These are the things our flesh is incapable of doing. So, you know, for me, here's a little practical tip. When I find myself in this struggle of doing the things I don't want to do and not doing the things I want to do, that's a little flag to me. Hey, Jim, you might be working a little too hard there on yourself, right? Maybe I need to stop for a minute and say, hey, Father, you've already done the work in Jesus Christ. You've already redeemed me from that. That thing doesn't hold me like it once did. Do you understand? And that's a time where you stop it in prayer. You give to God what he's already done. All right? So often the devil wants to get us pursuing things that God has already done. Pursuing by our own strength and ability the things that God has already done. Instead of believing him and entering into his rest of the work that's already been finished. You see? Sin no longer has dominion over you. It's not who you are. It's not who you'll ever be again. You've been set free. Right? So, look at this. We keep going in I wanted to pop over to Romans 8 here. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 1. I love that earlier in verse 6 where it said to present ourselves before God as those that are alive. And I just thought, what a contrast between Adam and Eve who were hiding from God. Mm-hmm. And now his people cleansed from that very sin, cleansed from our own, we can present ourselves before God. Here I am, I'm alive. And I'm free. Yeah, pretty awesome. Romans 8, 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. To be in Christ Jesus is to have believed on him, confessed him as Lord. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Look at this. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. Okay? By sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. I love this in Romans because it literally just keeps saying the same thing over and over and over again. But it says it from different angles, from different angles. You are no longer under condemnation of Adam. You're not. You are no longer the passions of your flesh. That's not who you are. Who you are is who I've made you in my Son, Jesus Christ. You understand? And you can't do this by your flesh, but I've now released you from the bondage of trying to do it by your flesh. I've put a spirit in you, and when you walk by that spirit, you will by that spirit fulfill my law and my will. Isn't that cool? So then that's what we do then. We do what he said to do. I say, okay, do I always feel like God has redeemed me? Mm. Maybe not. Do my feelings Do my feelings determine my reality? Nope. Right? Do I always feel uncondemned? I don't. What does the Word of God say? There's therefore now no condemnation. Do my feelings call the shots in my life? Nope. Right? Sometimes I might feel like I need to earn good graces in the sight of God or of others. That's what I think, or I feel pressured to do that. Do those thoughts or pressures, do those own me? Do those determine? No. I've been set free. You understand? Set free. Go to Colossians, if you would. Colossians chapter 3. Some of what we're going to look at next week is just what the function of the Word of God is in a believer's life. And how the Word of God will just, you know, Pete's been sharing over the last couple weeks that contrast between the desires of the flesh and of the spirit. You know, and the Word of God will just cut between those. It just highlights and shows us so we understand what's the will of God and the Spirit of God versus what's the will of the flesh and the spirit of and the things of man, right? The Word of God will make that plain and will open that to us. So as we begin to open the Scriptures, we learn things, right? And sometimes I'm going along in life, and you know what? Something comes to my attention. Maybe it's something from God's Word that opened my eyes. Maybe it's something a believer said. Or maybe it's a word of reproof that came to you from someone that, like, oh, I've been doing that wrong. I've been doing that according to my flesh, right? What the flesh likes to do is get all self-centered and insecure about it. Uh-oh, people saw my nakedness. I'm doing it wrong, and try to improve, right? What a man or woman who's in righteousness does is says, oh, gosh, thank God I see that. That's not who I am. Don't need that. Let's go forward. You see the difference? Because I'm free. That thing brought up in my life that I see that shouldn't be there doesn't condemn me. It doesn't point a finger at me and say, that's who you are. Well, maybe it tries, but I know better. Why do I know better? Because we've just read it. You see? Look at this. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Do you see a pattern here? Different books, they're all kind of saying the same thing, aren't they? The old man has died, and your life is new. It's hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And then look at this. Put to death, therefore, because of that, right? Because I've been raised with him, because I'm seeking things that are above instead of things that are on the earth, right? Because I've died and my life is hidden with him. Because of that, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked, when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek, and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Isn't that cool? I love this. Again, it ends at identity, right? You're not the Greek, you're not the Jew, you're not the circumcised, not the uncircumcised. You know, whatever category of person you put yourself in, it's no longer who you are. We're not defined by those things anymore. Christ is everything, and it's in all of us. Do you see that? It's who you are now. And you've been made free to walk and to live in it. And that's the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you. And then inside of us as a whole body of Christ. And we're going to see, you know, as we go into next week, just the function of the Word of God in my life, in my heart, in yours, you know, to remind us, to help us see this stuff clearly so that we can walk with Him and walk by the Spirit of God instead of walking by the desires of the flesh. Okay? All right? That's it.